solid, I laughed. He joined in, and like idiots, we just stared at each other amidst the smoke, traffic, and honking. Finally, I offered my hand, again, for him to shake. I was going to die alone, wasn't I? What's with you and being so polite? He murmured before taking my hand, flipping it over, and kissing the top of it. I felt tongue. The bastard most definitely snuck some tongue across my skin, causing me to shiver. Freezing, outside, cold. Not turned on by Jesse's best friend. That would be wrong. Just like asking him to come to the dark side of betrayal. Jesse was the guy who got away. The one who didn't eat food at his own house and had a creepy book of himself on the kitchen counter like he couldn't move on. Or just chose not to. Tomorrow, I stumbled back and then turned around so I wouldn't get lost in his smirk or those crazy hypnotic eyes again. See ya, spy girl.
Chapter 21. Colin. I hated hosting parties. I hated the loud, constant chatter, the drunken laughter. I even hated the snack food. When people drank, they needed to eat, so they tended to hover over all the food without caring that their sweat was brushing off on the chips. Now, parties at restaurants? Catered? Totally different. But at any of my homes, it just felt invasive. Yet I did it to network. It was the way of Hollywood, and people loved seeing what they thought was my inner sanctum. I leaned against the wall, surveyed the room, waited, calculated, wondered if she would actually show, especially considering I hadn't guaranteed that Jesse would be there. Then again, Vanessa rarely said no to a party, and since she was still keeping a tight leash around his thick-as-hell neck, I banked on him at least showing up for an hour or two. The front door opened, and I lost all ability to breathe. Red. She was wearing red. A long-sleeved, tight little red number showing a great expanse of skin that my hand burned to touch. The woman next to her was striking, not as striking as Blair, but a close second. Leather skirt and white crop top. They fit in easily with the Hollywood-esque crowd. One might even assume they were struggling actresses by the way their anxious eyes roamed the crowd, like they were searching for producers, directors, anyone. I muttered a prayer of thanks that they weren't. I hated most actresses almost as much as I hated any celebrity who came through my door and asked if I was a waiter. They tended to want to sleep with me so that I would ask a favor of the producers I knew. I learned my lesson the hard way that they knew the connections I had and could never seem to get that I might like them beyond the bedroom. I purposely dressed like the hired help in order to get a good idea of a person's character, another reason I liked bartending in my own hotel. I wore worn skinny jeans, tight t-shirts, and tried to blend in. And because of that, I got all the secrets. Who fired whom, who was acting in the new Spielberg project, what actor showed up drunk off his ass at the Marvel premiere. All of it. People wrongly assumed that I would look like my dad. Tailored suit, clean-shaven, tattoo-free, sans man bun. Wrong. Blair took a step farther in the entry, her gaze swept from one side of the room to the other. My house was an impressive 10,000-square-foot mansion that I bought only because the theater had a full bar and there was a private entrance to the pool from my bedroom, so I could take a dip, naked, pre-coffee. I pushed away from the wall, ready to intercept Blair, when Cockblocker of the Year walked through the door. Sans, my sister. My eyes narrowed as he placed a hand on Blair's back. She started and turned around, her face breaking into a cheery smile that made me want to strangle my best friend where he stood. Isla looked between them, her face pensive before she forced a smile, shook his hand, and elbowed Blair. Good. At least I had one person on my side. I tipped back my glass of whiskey and sauntered over, feigning interest in all the guests around me so I wouldn't look desperate to talk to the only woman in the room who held my attention. Jesse. I slapped him on the back, hard. You're alone? Of course not, he grinned. I've got these young ladies as dates. He winked. Smooth, man. Isla looked ready to roll her eyes. Instead, she clenched her teeth into a terrifying smile that spoke of ripping men's balls off on a daily basis, and liking it. I slapped him one more time on the back and whispered under my breath, "What'd you do, drug her?" "Very funny," his smile fell. "She said she had a headache." I raised my eyebrows. "My sister said that?" He nodded. "Vanessa," I confirmed. "Vanessa never misses a party." Jesse's look told me to drop it. But the last thing I wanted to do was drop it. The man shot me a glare before offering his arms to Isla and Blair. "Actually," I winked at Blair, "this one's already taken." It was Jesse's turn to look pissed and mine to look possessive. "I did promise to be your date," I reminded Blair. "Remember? After drinks yesterday afternoon?" "Drinks, huh?" Jesse licked his lips. "I didn't know you two were..." Blair's eyes widened.
We're dating.
Isla clasped her hands together. "But of course you are. I heard all about the six-pack conversation and nakedness." Blair groaned, and Jesse looked ready to murder me. Slowly, the kind of murder that's premeditated and hard to clean up. "You told her about my six-pack?" I grinned over at a blushing Blair. "And here I thought you said you didn't care, yet I'm involved in pillow talk." Blair poked me in the chest. "You..." She shoved me back. "We should, talk about that. See you guys soon." I laughed as Blair shoved me down the hall. I wouldn't even put it past her to grab my ear and give a little tug. She reached the first door, which just so happened to be one of the bathrooms, and pushed me inside, then locked the door behind us. "So, how's your evening? Everything you hoped for? More?" I teased. She threw her hands in the air. "What were you thinking?" "Hey, I'm not the one who said we were dating. That's on your high-heeled friend. And if you want me to help plot her murder, I'll have to turn off all the cameras in the house." Blair looked up. "You sick freak. You have cameras in here?" "Everywhere but the bathroom, so don't worry. You can get naked and nobody has to know." I shrugged and leaned back against the sink, gripping the cold marble countertop while she eyed me with fury.
"What's with you and nakedness?"
"It's how we're born," I smirked. "Easy." She laughed and took a confident step toward me, her eyes roaming the massive bathroom before landing on me again.
"I was also born with crooked teeth and no hair, so I should revert to that?"
"Actually," I licked my lips, "you were born without teeth, unless God made you extra special." I pushed away from the counter. "Did he?" She took a few steps back, plastered her ass against the door and looked up at me.
"Did he what?"
"Make you extra special." She cocked her head.
"Why are we in the bathroom?"
"I think it was a power move on your part. Lock me in here, tell me how things are going to be, maybe add in a spanking and teach me my lesson."
"Why do I even talk to you?"
Blair wondered out loud in a hoarse whisper as I moved closer, my body nearly touching hers. God, I wanted to kiss her again so bad. "Because I'm not boring, like some football players."
"You never played football?"
She seemed genuinely confused by this. "Guilty. I was more of a rugby sort of guy. What prick wears padding?" She eyed me skeptically. "No offense, but don't rugby players have a bit more..." She gulped and looked down past my waist.
"Okay, this is coming out wrong, but... thicker..."
The more she talked, the redder she got, like she couldn't bring her eyes up any higher without doing permanent damage to her retinas. I grinned so hard my face hurt. "Thicker? She pressed a hand to her forehead.
"Legs, damn it, legs!"
"Totally thought you were going somewhere else with that, spy girl." She made a face and crossed her arms.
"Stop calling me that, it makes me feel young, stupid, and inexperienced."
"Like a virgin?" I said helpfully. "Touched for the very first time?" She muttered,
"Dear God, what did I do in a past life to deserve him?"
I took it as a compliment. I pressed my hands against the door on either side of her head and stared at her luscious mouth a few beats before whispering. Her body language said she wanted to stay, while her words said the opposite. "I think you're asking yourself the wrong question."
She frowned. "I didn't say anything."
"No, but you're thinking it," I whispered. "You're wondering what the hell you're doing in here instead of out there."
She swallowed and looked away. I tilted her face toward mine, my finger and thumb cradling her chin. The past always looks better through I got fucked over glasses. I moved a bit closer, so close I could taste the mint from her gum. You think you still want him. You're wrong. She inhaled sharply. You don't know me. I know you blush from here. I tapped her chin, then ran my hand down the slim column of her neck until it pressed against her chest. To hear, when you get embarrassed. I leaned in and whispered, or turned on. She blushed immediately. I kissed her neck and said, told you so. She shoved me away so fast I almost got whiplash. This? She took another deep breath. This is business. This, I pointed between her and me, is more than business. But whatever helps you sleep at night, spy girl, just be sure to let me know when you want it to get more personal, because I'd love to see every inch of blush-infused skin, and I'd love to eat my way. No, she jammed her finger at me. When I called you, you literally had to kick a woman out of bed. Two, actually. I shrugged casually. Not that it matters. See? So? I like women, I explained slowly. What's wrong with that? She shook her head as fear quickly passed over her face. I'm not them. No, you're not, I said confidently. If you were, this would already be finished. She gave me a pointed look. There is no this or us beyond you helping me get info on Jesse and Vanessa. Sure, I nodded, not the least bit deflated. Fine. Why don't I believe you? Because I just lied, I admitted with a grin. But at least you know where I stand. Oh yeah? Where's that? In front of you, I smirked. Obviously. I walked toward her and reached for the doorknob. Look, I'm just a guy standing in front of a girl asking her to finish that sentence and I'm going to show you my kung fu. Don't tempt me. I'd just wrestle you down with some MMA move. Kung fu always trumps MMA. I laughed, hard. Yeah, okay. You need a drink. Stop telling me what to do, she grumbled, then nodded. But you do have whiskey, right? I chuckled. I'll show you the bar. Also, side note for that little folder you're bulking up on my best friend, he hates whiskey, only pretends to like it. She scoffed. I nodded. Her gaze turned confused. Exactly, I huffed. What man doesn't like whiskey? The beer-drinking kind, I offered. Beer, she repeated. Over-aged whiskey? And why pretend? You have no idea how many times I lose sleep over this very thought. Now let's go before someone assumes we've been in here making out and dry-humping like teenagers. The blush was back. I threw my head back and laughed. And I suddenly realized it had been months since I'd laughed that hard. With a woman. If ever.
Chapter 22. Blair. This is so good, I said between sips. It's not too oaky like I thought it would be. Colin's smile spread across his face. It was starting to become addictive. His voice had a slight rasp to it that gave me chills. It was deep, thick. I was such a moron. I'd been having a semi-normal conversation, and then bam, I looked down, and for some reason I wondered about his nakedness, and then once the thought had been planted, I watered the damn seed. At least things were back to normal. If normal was sipping whiskey with Colin while the Hollywood elite shuffled around us, "So, what's this party for, anyway?" I asked, taking another sip. "Oh, it's my birthday," Colin shrugged. Whiskey spewed out of my mouth all over the fancy bar he'd had built in the middle of his living room. It was nicer than most restaurants. And I had some very graphic daydreams of living inside it with a cot and a sign that asked for free refills. I covered my mouth with my hands. Colin handed me a napkin, then wiped up my whiskey-laced spit and offered me a confident smile. Small sips.
Right, I croaked. How old are you?
Oh, now she wants to know.
He was so damn easy to talk to. I could almost forget I was there to work. Then again, Isla had been glued to Jesse all night, probably doing my job as bait since I disappeared. Wouldn't surprise me at all if she put a bug in his pocket. He seemed eager to get rid of her, which just encouraged her all the more. Every time he walked toward us, she'd drag him in the opposite direction. She was good at making people feel important, bad at asking permission to do so.
If I tell you, promise to keep all fluids on the inside, Colin teased. His smile fell a bit, like he was about to disappoint me.
Scout's honor.
I held up my hand and even took a small sip to prove him wrong.
29.
I choked. The whiskey moved past my teeth, lodged itself in my throat as it awkwardly burned down my trachea and set my stomach on fire.
Ah, keep it in, he laughed.
I nodded, my eyes watering.
And she's trying so hard,
Colin leaned in.
Almost done swallowing?
I blushed at the double entendre, making him laugh that much harder.
You're a baby,
I croaked.
I kissed a baby.
He rolled his eyes.
We all kiss babies. They're cute. What's not to like?
He motioned to the bartender.
Besides, you're only, what, 2 years younger than me?
Ha ha! But at least you know never to guess older.
You're not old,
he said in a serious voice.
And I heard the 40s are the new 30s, so you're safe for at least another 10 years, making you 35 now. What? You stalked me?
I may have asked Jesse, he admitted shyly.
Can't kill a guy for being curious about the prettiest girl in the room.
You mean the room filled with A-list actresses? That room?
Hate actresses,
he grumbled. The woman next to us sent a seething glare our way. She looked expensive and pissed.
Point made.
He held up his glass to her.
Cheers, Robin.
Out of the side of his mouth, he whispered, She hates all men, though, so I don't take it personal.
Noted,
I said into my glass.
Finally,
Jesse blurted from behind me, wrapping an arm around my shoulder and grabbing my whiskey, taking a huge gulp like he actually appreciated everything about it. One does not gulp whiskey.
Ever.
Unless one is in college and wants to get drunk. Or unless your husband cheats on you with your best friend. If that is the case, gulp away. I could see the irritation burn Colin's eyes before he flashed a smile.
Hey, man, you having fun?
Fun. Jesse tasted the word and then pointed behind him.
I feel like I'm getting stalked by a superfan who refuses to let me drink or eat too much and will most likely give me a curfew of 11 if I keep hanging around.
Isla, I nodded. She mother hens.
I've known her an hour, and I...
You what? Isla said behind him.
Can't believe how much we have in common. Then again, you were just getting to the good parts.
I was getting to the bathroom, Jesse said through clenched teeth.
You followed.
She shrugged. I thought there would be more than one stall.
Stall?
Jesse choked.
It's a house, not a fucking restaurant.
Whoa, kids, easy. I spread my hands between them while Isla checked out the bar.
Actually, she said, this looks better than a restaurant. Good job, Colin.
He held up his drink.
Cheers. What can I get you?
Whiskey on the rocks. Make it a double. I waited for Jesse to say something. He blinked down at his phone, then said,
Same.
It irritated me that he just went with it, that he was drinking something based on what he thought others would say about his choices. Just order the damn beer. Eat the damn cereal. I didn't understand the type of person who cared that much about what others thought, his best friend included. He already had so much going for him. Why didn't he realize that?
I was ready to blurt out that he was a liar when Colin met my eyes and gave a slow shake of his head. Fine, I'd give him a hard pass. But it was weird. Colin had to know that was weird. I wanted to ask Isla if I was crazy for thinking it was strange, but she wasn't standing close enough and Jesse would hear, which left me mentally ready to burst. I talked things out. If I didn't, I tended to overthink, analyze. I mean, I was already under the impression that if Jesse lied about the whiskey, he'd easily lie about another woman. And he was texting. My phone wasn't buzzing. The more I thought about it, the more it bothered me.
Looks like I'm going to have to call it a night.
He yawned. Totally fake. What? Was he going to say next that he forgot about a late-night meeting or had bowling practice in the morning? It was 10:30, and it was his best friend's birthday. The dots didn't connect. Maybe I really was that untrusting. Men like Jesse Beckett did not go home at 10:30. My suspicion grew until I started feeling itchy. Jesse gave Colin a side hug. He shook his head at Isla.
It was a pleasure when you weren't trying to watch me pee.
Likewise. She took a sip and winked.
Blair?
Jesse licked his lips, then made a very big show of eyeing me up and down before pulling me in for a full frontal hug and whispering in my ear, I'll text you. I nodded. I wasn't sure what else to do, but I suddenly felt dirty. Very, very dirty. Like the cheaters we dealt with on a daily basis. Like my ex-very best friend who wanted my husband's babies for herself and threw her ovaries at his face in desperation. I never realized how much another person could make you hate yourself until that moment. After Jesse walked off, I said, "He's up to something."
"Spy sense?"
Colin nodded seriously.
"Are your hackles up? Blood pressure rising?"
Isla chuckled.
"I like you."
"Everyone likes me," he fired back.
"I give them alcohol."
She lifted her glass. "Well, I just sat down. If you want to investigate, I won't stop you, Blair."
"Bond."
Colin tipped back the rest of his glass.
"James Bond."
"You're not coming." I jabbed a finger at him. "Have a little fun. Just leave him in the car and roll down the window a bit so he can get some fresh air," Isla said before I could argue. "Besides, you did get trapped in a pantry. You losing your touch
one time," I argued. "And it wasn't my fault."
"Never is," Colin took my side. "Plus, Jesse and I have the Find My Friends app, and something tells me you don't."
"Wow, the man's got your catnip," Isla said.
"Seriously, go. I'm just going to make myself at home at this bar. If I'm still here when you get back, toss a blanket at me." I had to go on a stakeout with a younger man who was hell-bent on becoming my new partner, and she got to live at the bar with all the whiskey. It only bothered me because it meant just one more situation where I was being forced to be alone with him, and I wasn't so sure my self-control was at its strongest. Not when it came to his smiles, not when it came to the way he looked at me. Add to that the fact that I was stalking his best friend, and all of it just felt weird, wrong.
"Don't make that face. She can't physically drink all of it,"
Colin winked.
"To the Batmobile," I groaned.
Chapter 23. Colin. "You look tense. Why are you tense?" I wondered out loud once we were seated in the Uber and on our way to stalking Jesse. "Isn't this what you do on a daily basis?" Blair frowned at her phone and then shoved it in her purse. "Yes, no, well, I mean, I follow people, yes, but most of the time it's not so close to home." I answered for her, leaning back against the scratchy seat of the Uber.
The car smelled like hamburgers, which was confirmed when the driver shoved some excellent-smelling McDonald's fries into his mouth and yelled back at us for the address again, as if we actually knew more than what the Find My Friends app was telling us. The little dot stopped moving as I fired out the directions. Blair's stomach growled. I grinned at her. Got a dog in the purse, or are you just lusting after the fries? Fries are my weakness, she sighed, but we don't have time. We could always steal his, I whispered. She laughed behind her hand. Make a quick getaway on foot? Never ride in another Uber again, I added cheerfully. Tempting. She chewed her lower lip. God, I wanted to be her teeth. And I was an idiot for even thinking it. Work first. She seemed to center herself again as she nudged me. Grab your phone. Where's the perp going? You're not a cop, I pointed out. It felt right. Her grin hit me square in the chest. Jesse was an idiot for ever letting her go, a complete fool, and the more time I spent with her, the more I wanted her to see what I saw. A confident, beautiful woman, who deserved so much better than a guy who would cheat on his wife. The more I thought about it, the angrier I became. He was my best friend. What the hell was he thinking? Asking Blair for her number? At first, it didn't bother me, and now that I knew her, it felt a hell of a lot like cheating. And if there was another woman on top of that, I balled my fist. Right, I cleared my throat. So it looks like he's headed to a bar in Hollywood. Her eyebrows scrunched together. Well, he could just be passing it, right? In his car? Ah, hope. And the fact that I was about to ruin it for someone so hopeful, with that look in her eyes, like men really thought to themselves, I'll stop by for a quick drink and not a quick fuck. He just stopped in front of it. I showed her my phone and felt jealousy hit me as her face fell. But maybe you're right and he needed to take a piss. Right. She seemed to perk up. He did have that whiskey. A gulp of whiskey, but whatever. Yeah, he did. I fired off the directions to the driver to park a block away. Then we waited in silence. Blair staring at her phone like she was expecting a text, and me staring at mine, challenging Jesse to prove me wrong. Did I believe he was cheating? No. Did I think he wanted to? Yes. Did I blame him? No. Did I want to? Yes. So damn much. I despised my sister in a way that felt like a betrayal to my family, to my blood, so I knew what Jesse was getting into. I knew how selfish she could be, but the minute she sank her claws into him, I knew that he was lost to me too, and I never really got my best friend back. He was never the same. So what's the plan? I changed the subject as the car pulled up to the curb. We sneak in, get costumes. Can I be the pirate? Blair slowly, very slowly, tilted her head in my direction. Costumes? Disguises? I offered. It's not a game, she said through clenched teeth. It's my job. Go dress and drag on your own time. Oh, I do, I winked. She paused and then shook her head like she didn't want the mental picture of me in heels and bright red lipstick. The Uber driver gave me a nod. I think it was positive. And then I wondered if he really would hand over that fry if I worked for it. Decisions, decisions. Look, Blair pressed a hand to my chest. Just try not to get caught and stay behind me. Like I said, it's my job. I just need to make sure he's without female company. If he isn't, I take pictures. Get close enough to gain intel. Intel? I laughed. Really? Her face tightened. I know you think this is a joke, but I'm serious. I hate cheaters. Despise them. My job is to make sure they never do it again. I take pictures, find proof, file it away, and make sure that justice is served. She seemed to flinch at that. The point is this. If he's dipping his dick in some other woman's parts, I want to know about it and I want to expose it. The dick or the parts, I said. Both, she said through clenched teeth. So either come with me and stay silent, which will be a miracle, by the way, or eat his fries and go find a costume shop. She jabbed her finger at the Uber guy, the one winking at me. Hard pass, man. Sorry. Yeah, I scooted away from the front seat. I say I go with you silently. Great. She didn't say it in a happy tone, more of a tone that said, Oh, hell, what have I gotten myself into? Uber guy had sad puppy dog eyes. I think I made the right choice. That was what I told myself. Until I walked into the bar with Blair, and saw Jesse talking to a tall blonde drink of water who leaned in and kissed him on the cheek. Stunned, I could only watch in horror as it played out in front of me like a bad dream. I'd assumed he was just going through a phase, even though part of me was worried that something was going on. I hated that I was right. Hated that Blair would feel the betrayal in a personal way, no matter what she said about it being business. I think I felt the look on her face, her heartbeat slowing, before I even saw anything register, like the need to take a picture. My hands were on her arms before I could form another rational thought, and then I pushed her toward a table in the back and waved a waiter over, ordered us more whiskey, and tucked her into my side so Jesse didn't see us. No, she finally said. I need evidence. Lipstick is on his fucking face. What else do you need, sweetheart? I whispered in her ear. The conversation around us buzzed with excitement, and yet with her all I felt was calm awareness. If calm meant that I was ready to rip the table apart with my bare hands while slamming whiskey like water and charging toward my best friend like an animal. Yeah, totally calm. It could be anyone, she offered. I looked at her, really looked. Are you fucking kidding me right now? She flinched. Instantly, I felt like an ass. Look, Blair, this is your job, right? She nodded slowly, stared at the table, then back up at me and straightened her spine. Right? Ignore that it's Jesse sitting over there, an ex-boyfriend, I use air quotes. The guy currently texting you while still married to my sister, mind you. She sucked in a breath. If he was any other guy and he'd made a lame excuse, left a kick-ass party, his best friend's party, in order to meet some random chick with red lipstick at a bar he doesn't frequent, what would you assume, sweetheart? That he was thirsty? No. She took a deep breath. I'd assume he was a lying, cheating bastard, and I'd assume it would take me seconds to nail his dick to the wall before I took pictures and showed them to the poor girl he was cheating on. I leaned back. He's a job. He's a job, she repeated in a small voice that spoke of so much insecurity that my chest tightened. I was pissed she was still semi-defending him. Pissed that I was pissed about it when it wasn't any of my business what she did in her free time. But most of all, I was pissed that in all of this, she was looking at him with the same desperation with which I looked at her. And I'd never experienced that feeling before. The quiet longing of unrequited love. Not that it was love, but it was something. And she wasn't mine. And there I was on my birthday in a shitty bar with a girl who stole sideways looks at my best friend, while all I wanted was for her eyes to be on me.
Chapter 24. Blair. He was right. I had been telling myself what I'd been doing with Jesse was innocent. Accepting texts, texting back, just friends catching up. I was wrong. I wondered, had she felt that way? My ex-best friend, the one whose name I refused to think, refused to speak? Did her affair with my ex-husband start innocently too? I wouldn't know, would I? Because I walked out of that life. I never asked for explanations. I just took my lot and moved on. Why? Why did I do that? Why didn't I get closure? Because up until this point, I blamed myself just as much as I blamed Jason. Because my heart, even from day one, hadn't been totally in our marriage. It had belonged to a man who still held the broken pieces. A man sitting mere feet from me, who I used to think had the powers to make everything better. When in all reality, he couldn't even figure out his own broken pieces, let alone mine. I stole another glance at Jesse. What if there was more to the story? What if it wasn't just that I didn't have big boobs and magic cookie-making abilities? What if it started with a text? What if it started with innocence, with justifications and denials, and quickly turned into something meaningful? I always placed myself in the shoes of the victim every time I tried to rescue others from the same fate, never thinking about how easy it is to justify an action, when we want that other person so badly. Why the hell had I never thought that?
You okay?
Colin nudged me as our drinks came. You look a little lost. Yeah. I chewed my lower lip and clutched the small glass with both hands. What's he doing now? Colin let out a long sigh.
He's ordering beer.
I smirked at that. Monster. Colin clinked his glass with mine.
Read my mind, spy girl.
I went with it and lifted my glass into the air. Happy birthday, basement dweller. He winced.
I guess I deserved that after the spy girl nickname, huh?
I gulped down the shot. It burned my throat and settled warmly into my stomach. Yeah, he was anything but a child. Colin was like the typical bad boy with bad intentions on steroids, from his sharp jawline to his pensive stares. I could even get on board with the man bun, which made him look like a struggling actor, just one audition away from a role as a Dothraki on Game of Thrones.
Thanks.
He was quiet, so unlike him, as he stared into his glass.
Well, should we get the picture and find out intel on the woman with the red dress and red lips?
My eyes fell to Jesse, and the beautiful woman at his side. He excused himself and went out of view. I glanced at my phone as it buzzed, flipping it over quickly so I could read the screen. Jesse, miss you, headed to bed in a bit, thinking of you, promise, more cat videos to come. I slammed the phone onto the table with such aggression that the silverware rattled.
Easy, tiger,
Colin whispered in my ear. I assumed he'd looked over my shoulder and read the text, and by his tone, it didn't faze him. I had no idea why something like that wouldn't make him charge across the room with fists flying. Why aren't you upset? Why aren't you pissed? It's your sister! I raised my hand. Another round! Nobody came. Colin waved the waitress over and ordered. She gave him a sexy pout, but he seemed immune to her charms. You can go with her, you know, I said quietly, hating the disappointed feeling in my chest. It's your birthday. Maybe she'll give you a few slaps on the ass.
I'm over it,
he shrugged.
Your birthday?
The slaps. He wrapped an arm around my shoulders. Besides, I'd rather be here on a spy mission with you. I think the mission is a bust, and you never answered my question. I pointed to the door that Jesse just exited with the blonde girl on his arm. It bothers me, it does, but I also understand why he would look elsewhere. I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying he's a man who feels trapped, and I think instead of judging him, I need to help him. That's best friend 101. Don't throw the first stone when you live in a glass house. I nodded as Jesse disappeared from eyesight. It was the first time in my career that I didn't snap the picture. The first time I hesitated. Because I wanted so badly to be wrong. And didn't realize until that moment how much my own behavior hung on my perception of him. I perceived him as perfect, good, the ideal partner. My own failings in marriage weighed heavy on my heart as understanding dawned. I had always unfairly compared Jason to Jesse, even early on. And the truth remained. Jesse was a man, human, not perfect.
You didn't get any pictures, just intel.
Colin was so close, his breath on my neck. My stomach clenched, and all the blood rushed from my head down to my toes, then back up again. Yeah, well, it's your birthday. No working on birthdays. I finally looked at him. Really looked at him. His lips were a heartbeat from mine. It was a bad idea, being this close to him, smelling him, knowing what he tasted like. Knowing the risk of getting my heart broken again. Knowing that the last time he had sex was with multiple partners at the same time and that was normal for him. Knowing that something sketchy went down between him, Jesse, and his sister. And yet his stare, that deep, brown-eyed stare, I felt it all over my body. I felt it in my toes. I'd never felt a stare so intense before. I'd always waited until the kiss to decide if I was attracted to someone. But his stares, in a way, superseded his kisses, because it was like he was intentionally trying to rip apart every piece of armor I'd carefully pieced around my body to protect my most vital organ, my heart. Our drinks came, shattering the moment. I looked away. I had to. "This is it." I felt like I had to say it out loud so I didn't make more bad choices, so he knew my limit. "No more drinking after this." We clinked glasses. I sipped, he chugged, and then he slammed $100 onto the table and motioned for me to scoot out. Why had I said that? I ruined the night completely. Not that I wasn't already in a weird place. He held up his hand for me to wait, typed something out on his phone, and then grinned up at me. "You ready to go?" "Yeah, sure. I just need to grab a car." "Already got it." He winked. "Oh." I didn't think much of it. "That's nice, but I live on the opposite end of town." "Oh." He wrapped me in his arms and whispered in my ear. "You thought the night was over. It's just beginning. No more drinking? That's fine with me. But I'm not letting you go." "I'm not sleeping with you," I blurted, gaining attention from a nearby table as they sent judgmental looks our way. Colin let out a rough chuckle. "No offense, but I didn't ask you to, or proposition you in any way." "No," I licked my lips, "but..." I frowned harder. "No." "Don't look so disappointed," he burst out laughing, then braced both of my shoulders. "Fine, fine. Do you want to sleep with me?" "Yes." "No!" I said it too quickly. My breathing was all over the place, just like the blush that stained my cheeks. His grin hit me square in the chest. "Well, now that we've got that over with, little liar, let's go." He grabbed me by the arm and led me out onto the street where an Escalade was waiting. "What's this?" "A ride." The driver opened the door and I scooted across the soft leather while he got in behind me. "Where are we going?" "So many questions," Colin teased. "Maybe just let life happen for once, Blair." It was on the tip of my tongue to confess. To tell him that when I let life happen last time, it kicked me in the ass and sent me sobbing toward two bottles of wine. Control was better. Pouring my heart into making sure others didn't get broken. It seemed like the smart route. I liked control when it came to the important things. But he was throwing that off balance slowly, cheerfully, brilliantly. I took a deep breath. "Easy." He pressed his hand against my thigh. "Just trust me." "I don't trust people," I whispered. He was quiet for a few minutes, and then he said in a low voice, "I know."
Chapter 25, Jesse. I felt like a lying asshole, but I didn't trust anyone. And while I kept up appearances for Vanessa's sake, all I really wanted to do was toss Blair over my shoulder and keep her for myself. She seemed safe, easy. Not Vanessa, not difficult and confusing and manipulative. I told myself that I did all the things I did for one reason and one reason alone. With everything Vanessa and I had gone through, she still deserved more than what I could give her. I just hated how she used my weakness against me every damn time.
"How was the party?"
Vanessa was sitting cross-legged on the couch, wine glass in her hand, not drinking it, just swirling it like she was contemplating drinking it.
I sighed and tossed my keys under the counter next to the book, next to the reminder of when things had felt perfect. I hated it when she came into my domain, like we were still together, and she was just waiting for me to get home so we could hop into bed. She did it as a reminder. It made me even angrier. Good. I grabbed the bottle off the counter and a glass, then sat next to her. Is there a reason you're still up? She looked into her wine glass and sighed. Just thoughts? Thoughts, I smirked. Deep ones, or are we talking massage appointments and if you should buy a small dog? She scowled and then smiled. A real smile. One that reached her eyes and wasn't full of scorn or bitterness. And for one damn second, I was taken back in time to our first kiss, when she told me she wanted to spend her life in my arms if I'd let her. When I said I wanted the same thing. Her first lie. My first mistake. It was amazing what a genuine smile did for my mood, but I knew it wouldn't last. It was fake hope that we could rebuild what had been broken. I stopped believing in hope a long time ago. But her smile did make me feel like an ass, because no matter how horrible she was, there was no justification for the things I said, no matter how angry, no matter how sad I still felt. You can't put someone in a box and not expect them to claw their way out, no matter how long it takes, how bad it hurts. You fucking climb. You survive. Vanessa tilted her head up at me. A wave of pretty blonde hair fell across her face. Where do you think we went wrong? Did she have time for a list? I shifted my position on the couch. And before you say something sarcastic, can I just say... She held her hand out as if she was trying to stop the words that were about to tumble out of my mouth. That I'm serious? When did it begin? I hated talking about it. Refused to even go there with my therapist. I took a few sips of wine, then put it on the table. When you finally understood that the world is a cruel place, a cruel place you can't control like you'd always believed, when biology betrayed you? I think it was a slow burn, Vanessa. I think that it started with devastation, betrayal, lies. You ask when it started? The day I said, I do. She blinked back tears. I made a choice.
You did,
I said matter-of-factly. You made a choice without telling me. Without telling Colin, you made a choice for you, not for us.
But I did do it for us, for your career, to keep this.
She threw her one free hand in the air and then crumpled in front of me. I grabbed her wine and set it on the table, my hate lessening as I took her frail body into my lap and held her. You decided what was best without consulting the one person who's supposed to be your partner. Vanessa, I would have done anything for you.
And now?
She sniffled, looking up at me. Now, I said sadly. I just want to be free. She stared at my chest, her tears drying.
You're cheating.
No. God, how many times would we go over this?
We're still married.
Not for long. Yes. She wiped her nose.
I refuse to accept that we're through, Jesse. We were good together.
Until fame caused her to make one choice that devastated not just me, but everyone around us. As I glanced around my pristine white house, I knew I'd married another control freak, another person who bought the lie that it mattered what others thought about you. The lie I still believed. The lie I still lived on a daily basis because it was all I knew. If everything looks good, it must be good. What a fucking joke. My whole life had been based on the approval of others, what team to pick, what car to drive, even what woman to marry. And then it hit me. Maybe I'd let Blair slip through my fingers because I knew she wasn't the type who'd be okay with the white walls. She'd want to paint them. She'd want chaos. And chaos terrified me almost as much as the white walls surrounding me, as much as the blank stare of the woman I used to love right the hell in front of me. With one last sigh, I kissed her forehead and stood. I just want you to be happy. I truly meant that.
How can I be happy without you?
That's the problem. that had always been the problem. I was happiest without her. She was happiest with me. Even in the beginning, it had always been a lie, a farce. I used her to feel like I'd arrived, and she used me to keep herself relevant. We were doomed from the start. Get some sleep. Her tears continued, and as I made my way into my room, cell in one hand, wine in the other, it was to the music of her sobs. As if I was the one who had ruined us, when we both knew it had been her. Guilt ate me alive as I sat on my bed and sent another text to Blair. I didn't want a quick hookup. I didn't need anything other than someone to talk to. That's what I told myself when I sent a second text. That's what I told myself when I thought about how attracted I was to her. That's what I told myself when the view of her ridiculous partner haunted my line of vision as if she was trying to cock-block me even in my dreams. I told myself it was harmless. Stupidly, I believed it.
Chapter 26. Blair. The car pulled up to the curb. I looked out the window. Your hotel? One of my hotels, but who's counting? He flashed a cocky grin that had me both irritated and a bit breathless. Apparently you are, I said in a snarky voice to hide the way his smile made me feel all the feels I sure as hell should not be feeling. Colin jerked his head toward the building and held out his hand. Let's go. You gonna play my bartender? I teased as the doors were opened for us, and he was greeted as Mr. Buchanan. Damn, left my apron upstairs. Wanna help me find it? He teased as he wrapped his arm around my shoulders. I felt his biceps, triceps. I felt muscle. It was a puzzling realization that the guy who didn't play football, the guy I was walking with to God knows where, was either a secret gym rat or just didn't feel the need to give out any extra information, even to me. Is that where we're going? I gulped. Upstairs? Why was I suddenly pointing up with my free hand? Why was he letting me just hold it there for more than 2 seconds awkwardly? He grabbed my free hand and kissed the back of it. I promise your virtue. He licked his lips like he was hungry as his gaze roamed up and down my body. Is safe with me. I exhaled. For now, he added with a wink. He led me to a private elevator with two buttons. Penthouse. Lobby. He hit the P. And I mentally went over all the reasons I'd agreed to get in that car with him and came up with nothing except it was his birthday. And I genuinely liked him at least half the time. The elevator doors opened to a large open-concept living space with rich burgundy walls, colorful pictures, rugs that covered most of the black slate, and a fireplace that took up at least 10 feet right in the middle of the room, with freaking swings hanging from the ceiling around it. I smiled. Ah, she likes the fireplace. She does, I grinned harder. It's really cozy. It should be, he shrugged. This is where I like to stay when I'm working at the hotels. It just feels more like home. I frowned. So I waste money on that huge house with the amazing hand-built bar. And she likes the bar, he laughed. She likes the bar. So does he. Colin held out his hand. There is literally nothing else personal in that house. I love the bar. I designed it and helped build it. The only thing in that house that has my hands all over it, my heart, is that bar. I stilled. So, in a roundabout way, I think you just said you loved me. He finished. Like. I said like. Eh, but you kind of love it, admit it. I turned away and crossed my arms. You're annoying. Because I'm right,
But shh, I won't tell anyone you're in love with me. It can be our little secret. I'm not. I took a deep breath. It's pointless to argue with you. Quick learner. His chuckle was deep. His voice had a hint of rasp that made me want to beg him to keep talking. I turned around and made my way to one of the swings. I held on and sat down, then slowly pushed away from the rocks around the fireplace. It was just close enough to be warm, but not so close that I was afraid to singe my foot off. Plus, it was only 3 feet off the ground. It was sadly one of the most relaxing things I'd done in days. Drink? He called from somewhere behind me. Not whiskey, I said quickly. I wanted a clear head, something that wouldn't make me think that jumping from the swing and into his bed was a good idea. I was already having a hard time differentiating between the slight whiskey buzz and the one from Colin kissing my hand. I was so lost in my thoughts, I didn't hear him coming, or the music softly playing in the background. I'm not seducing you. Colin handed me a glass of chilled white wine. But if I was, would this be too much? He spread his arms wide, then nodded at the swing. I took a sip and sighed happily as he sat next to me on the swing and wrapped an arm around my shoulders. Probably, I'm a sucker for sports. He burst out laughing. Yeah, I can see how this could be a sport. The constant pumping of your legs, your heart slamming against your chest while classical music trickles through the background, sweat running down your face because of the added effect of the fire. Yep, we're doing hot swinging, same as hot yoga, but with wine. I couldn't keep my giggle in. Hey, I'm overexerted. Can't decide if that disappoints me or just tempts me more. My lack of physical fitness tempts you? I arched my eyebrows at him and took another sip. How so? Easier prey. He shrugged, his lips curling into a satisfied smirk. You'll exhaust yourself. Meanwhile, I'll circle. He stopped the swing, and his hand moved to my thigh and slid toward my hip. And pounce. His lips pressed against my neck, and then he pulled away. I swear I almost took my pulse, mainly because it couldn't be healthy to be in a sitting position drinking wine, for heaven's sake, and being able to actually hear and feel my pulse jumping wildly. Colin seemed unfazed as he pushed against the rock with his foot, causing the swing to move again. I finally regained my composure, meaning I sucked in air and managed not to spill my wine all over his lap. Why do you do it? He asked after a few minutes swinging in silence. My wine glass was empty. I still held it. He stopped the swing, got up, and returned with the bottle, pouring me a generous amount before sitting again. The PI business. Why do you do it? Why not? I deflected. Blair? Colin? Since we're in love, you may as well tell me. You tell people you love this sort of thing. That's like falling in love 101. I rolled my eyes. It's not a good story. I didn't ask for a happy ending. I shifted uncomfortably in my seat, and then decided maybe it was best to just blurt it all out at inhuman speed, and then grab the bottle and start chugging. My husband cheated on me with my best friend. I found them together the day before my birthday. I winced. He made a face, slammed his wine glass onto the rock, nearly breaking it, and stood. Are you fucking kidding me? I tucked my body back against the swing. No. Is he blind? No. Stupid? No, not really. Insane? His voice was getting louder and louder, and I wanted to make it better. Colin, it's fine. Look, I'm over it. You're not. He said it like he knew me, like he knew my pain. You don't know? I stood, gulped down my wine, and put my hands on my hips. You don't know me. You met me a week ago. A week! I was acting ridiculous, but he was getting too close. He was making too much sense. He was giving me the look. I threw my hands into the air. So don't stand there and pretend to know everything that goes on in my life. His face softened.